The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but today we are gathering in the warmth and safety of our own homes. My name is Ann Rostosky. I'm the Vice President of the Board and one of today's worship leaders. December's Soul Matters theme is joy. In today's service, we will be celebrating the joy of the winter solstice and the return of the sun. We are a welcoming community, so whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your life's journey, we welcome you to celebrate winter solstice with us today. Now, Duncan Smith will light our chalice.
The light and warmth of this flame, token of our coming together. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
And now I will light the Advent candle for today. In the weeks of the Advent season, the weeks of waiting, we have remembered patience. We have looked to dispel darkness with light. We have pledged to be, do, and seek peace. This week, we remember the foundation of all these things, love. In this holiday season, throughout the year to come, and always in our lives, may we know we are loved. May we share the love we have, and may we be the love we wish to see.
The days of the year have stiffened with ice, and darkness has grown upon the land.
The season of cold and early dusk is upon us.
The sun is retreated down the sky. The living green has forsaken the earth, and the leaves have fallen.
No longer do the flowers bloom, and the birds have fled to the south. Our gathering song is hymn number 55, The Dark of Winter.
Dark of winter, soft and still, your quiet calm surrounds me. Let my thoughts go where they will, ease my mind profoundly, and then my soul will sing a song, a blessed song of soft and still, bring your quiet.
And now we will have the story of Demeter and Persephone. This is a story that we told every time we had our dancing and drumming at the fellowship. One of our dances reflected this story. And now we're sharing it with all of you, the story of Demeter and Persephone.
The story of Demeter and Persephone. Demeter was the ancient Greek goddess of the harvest. She was a very important goddess to ancient Greek people who farmed a lot of their food. Demeter had a kind and beautiful daughter whose name was Persephone, and she loved her very much. Persephone, like her mum, loved nature. One day she was out walking in a beautiful meadow and she was gathering flowers to take home when a huge hole opened up in the ground. Hades, the god of the underworld, arrived through the hole and he captured Persephone. He wanted the lovely Persephone to be his wife. How do you think she felt about that? Demeter could no longer see her daughter and she missed her hugely. She was so sad that it affected the harvest across Greece. Crops, fruit, and nature all stopped growing. So Demeter went to Zeus, the king of the gods, to ask him to help her get her daughter back from Hades. Zeus could see how Demeter's sadness was affecting Earth, and so he agreed to help her. Meanwhile, Hades wanted to make it more difficult for Persephone to leave the underworld, and so he gave her some delicious underworld food, a fruit called a pomegranate. Zeus visited Hades to ask him to let Persephone leave. Hades said, "Persephone can only leave if she hasn't eaten any of the food that I've given her." But she already had. Persephone had eaten 6 pomegranate seeds. Zeus and Hades agreed that Persephone would have to spend 6 months in the underworld, but that she could return to Earth for the other 6 months of the year. It was 1 month for every pomegranate seed. From then on, whenever Persephone was with Demeter on Earth, Demeter would be so happy that crops, fruit, and plants would all grow and flourish beautifully. But when Persephone went back to the underworld to live with Hades for 6 months, the plants would have stopped growing entirely. The ancient Greeks used this myth to explain something that affects how plants grow. What do you think it is?
And now we will have a musical meditation.
Night the sun. peaceful hearts are yearning. In the deep dark winter's night, the solstice fire is burning. Celebrate the winter, Lord, merry holy King. A bonny wreath upon our door to welcome joy within. Yuletide comes, the old year dies, our peaceful hearts are yearning. In the deep dark winter's night, the solstice fire is burning. Celebrate the winter, Lord, merry holy King. A bonny wreath upon our door to welcome joy within.
We pause in holy quiet of the nourishing dark. The days are shorter now, and darkness overtakes light. We miss the sparkling daylight hours, the long days of brightness and activity. We yearn for their swift return and wonder if we can wait or if our patience will at last give out. We forget the nourishing dark at our peril. There is mystery in the dark to be probed. There is the adventure of that which cannot be known, cannot be seen, can only be experienced in the soul. There is deep in the dark, impenetrable and inviting. In the dark, we rest our bodies and souls. We escape that which traps and confuses. We come face to face with ourselves. We come into the deep places of our being. Darkness is not mere absence of light. Darkness is not simply an interval between days. Darkness is the softness of things, the blessed quiet of night. May we not bemoan the dark, but relish it. May we feel its mystery and presence and rejoice in the mystical embrace. May we celebrate the deep and nourishing dark.
The Solstice by Gary Kowalski. Night has its own kind of beauty, different than the beauty of day. Night is a time of sleep and dreams and inward visions, a time of pause within activity. Darkness is an invitation to imagining and storytelling, and to using our ears instead of eyes to listen to the world in its stillness. Darkness is the den of life in germination, and darkness is the portal of death that opens to eternity. The mystery of all time past and endless time to come. At the center of our being, there is light and there is darkness, the known and the unknown, the named and the nameless, the finite and the infinite. Light and dark are different, but not opposed to each other. Like a mother and father, they are friends with one another and with us.
Thank you.
These are magic moments, the special times in the celestial calendar, in the dance of moon and sun, in the ceaseless cycle of the seasons. Humans everywhere have marked them and celebrated them forever and ever. The solstice and the equinoxes are the big ones, the ones most often noted. The solstices, midsummer and now, mark the extremes in the pattern of our days. Some call them the hinges of the year. Tuesday, the sun will cease to wane and will begin to wax again. From then till late June, the actual hours of daylight will be longer. We will have passed the darkest time. This winter solstice gets the most attention. In earlier times, when we were hunting and gathering and starting to farm, this winter season was the season of crisis. We had to bring the sun back for warmth and for fertility and for growing things. Some of the rituals and traditions that began then have come back through to us today in Christmas observations. The Yule log, for instance, has nothing to do with the birth of that special child, but a great deal to do with rituals of fertility. Nor do the evergreens tie into that manger scene. We have them because they remind us that all is not dead, that the plants will grow again. The partying, feasting, and gift-giving were there before Christ too, in the Roman Saturnalia and in kindred festivals around the globe. The wreath with its circle form tells us of the cycles of the year, coming round and round to when the sun is dominant again. But that wreath speaks nothing of the baby Jesus. Why do we observe the solstice? We moderns, we UUs here today in 2021. It's not just because our little gray card reminds us that the spiritual traditions of earth-centered traditions are part of our living traditions today. And it is not just because some members of the fellowship honor pagan ways. Nor, I suspect, is it that any of us really feels that we must light candles and special logs on the hearth and bonfires to help the sun regain its strength. I don't think we believe that sympathetic magic is necessary to preserve the world. I do think that we observe the solstice to be in touch with the magic, the sense of a special time. Naturalist Edwin Waite Teal captures some of the magic in this passage from Wandering Through Winter. Darkness comes swiftly in the long night moon of December. At the end of the 21st day of the month, the shortest day of the year, this time when in other ages, men lit bonfires to strengthen the expiring sun, the silver strand faded rapidly from sight. Picture yourself standing with us in the gathering dusk. The evening mist increases. My wristwatch ticks on. Its hands touch 6:20 p.m. The year has reached the instance of the winter solstice. In that moment, the northern hemisphere leans farthest away from the sun. A season dies, a season is born. We took one breath in autumn, the next in winter. In the year that he wrote this, the moment was 6:20 in the evening. This year, the solstice will come on Tuesday at 10:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That will be the magic moment. So we celebrate to capture the magic. the sense of wonder. I think we also celebrate the solstice to be in touch with the natural cycles, with Earth itself. Today, we can so easily become separated from earthy reality with our artificial light, our heat to order, the ever-present option of escape to television fantasy, and the omnipresent cell phone. Observing the solstice reminds us, too, of the persistence of some things. The continuance of natural cycles speaks to us both of order and of hope. Now, the question is, how can we best observe the solstice? Certainly, most of us have made a start already. There are boughs of holly and evergreen, perhaps even an evergreen tree in our homes. We've lit candles, we've sung songs. They all bring traditions into our lives. But we can do more to capture the fullness of the holiday. Richard Heinberg, in his book, Celebrating the Solstice, makes several suggestions. Visiting a sacred site can be profoundly moving. Planting a tree speaks of renewal. Actually stopping your busyness to watch the sunset and the sunrise, marking the sun's progress week by week, can make the seasonal changes very real and concrete. If you did that, you would really understand the word solstice. By derivation, it means sun stands still. During the days just before and just after the solstice, the sun's position in the sky changes so little that it is imperceptible. It seems to stand still. Heinberg also writes that one year, he and his partner participated in the Earth's rhythm of light and day more directly by turning off the lights, the phones, the clocks, all the electric appliances that filled their lives. They woke naturally just before sunset, before sunrise, and slept as the light fell. Afterwards, he reported, "We felt more fully alive than usual, more relaxed, more attentive, and happier from that energy fast." Energy fast. Now there's an idea. You could also make a point of stopping at that moment, 10:59 on Tuesday morning, to take those breaths that Thiel wrote about. We took one breath in autumn, the next in winter. I think that Tuesday morning, I will walk a labyrinth and try to time it so that I reach the center at 10:59. Then I will turn in the new season to wind my way out again, perhaps seeing my life differently. Now, last year and this, we've not been able to gather for sacred dance because of the pandemic. But there is one move common to many of the dances that we do that I want to mention as a way to celebrate. Just as smiling makes us happy, so too can motion that expresses joy make us glad. The move I have in mind is a very simple one. It involves taking 3 or 4 steps forward, all the while lifting your arms in celebration and looking up. You can think of it as sharing Demeter's joy at the return of Persephone, or as saluting your beautiful holiday tree, or you can approach a window and greet the light that comes in there. Whatever you're thinking at that moment, if you reach out and up, you open yourself to feeling lifted up yourself. If you can't do it at that moment, do it that evening. But let's try it now. If you can, if you wish, stand up. Take a few steps back and then walk forward, raising your arms and looking high. And then down. Try it again. Step forward, reach up, look up to the sky, and come back. Once more. Up and joy. Breathe the light. Thank you. You can do it again at the moment of the solstice if you want. Now, the Reverend Tim Cutsmark has written about the winter solstice. He says, the gifts of the longest night of the year are the gifts of emptiness, expansiveness, and expectation. He tells us the dictionary defines expectation as a confident belief or a strong hope that something will help happen. And he continues, on solstice night, something will happen. He quotes Victoria Stafford, the whole round earth turns again to the sun. Then he says, on solstice night, we will begin to move again toward the light. We won't notice it for a while, but bit by bit, the nights will grow shorter, the days will grow longer. This is a natural promise held in the darkness of the season. This is the natural promise held in our own lives. We need not wish away the winter to find the eventuality of hope. Though it is dark, it is not the end of the story. Something's coming, something warm and bright and good, and something that we will all share. The Reverend Kutzmark has it. Something is coming, something warm and bright and good, and we will share it. Now, I hope that each of you will find a meaningful way to celebrate the solstice this year. If you know already what that will be, please share it with us in Matters of the Heart. If you've not yet discovered your special observance, let us know. Perhaps we can make it part of our communal shared experience next year. Merry meet, merry part, merry meet again, blessed be.
And we've now come to the point of our service that we leave a set aside each week for individuals to share matters of the heart. This is a time when you can share either a joy that is lifting you up or a sorrow that's weighing you down. You can share that with our community to lessen the burden or increase the joy. Also, as Tony mentioned, feel free to share some special observance that you are making for the solstice this coming week during Matters of the Heart. We are going to take a minute or two for a meditation. Coincidentally, this is an instrumental titled Winter Solstice. We will bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. The words will appear on screen here in just a second.
But we approach the shortened days with gladness, and the ancient fear is no longer on our faces.
From darkness will come light, and out of the cold will be born the flaming sun.
We hold the turning of the year as promise, and the renewing of life is our solid hope.
The time of the new year is known, and we ready our houses for the celebration.
Now the sun will again climb the heavens, and henceforth, the darkness will be pushed back every day.
And the months of snow will give way to the months of leaves, and petals will fall upon the earth. The closing song is On Midwinter's Day by Dom the Bard.
She have returned to their homes, and the dead have followed the raven song. No longer among us they roam. The wisdom of our ancient past shows us how to ride the storm. For their tombs they swallowed the rising sun, and the Mavern is always reborn. Reborn, oh. So come, all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day. Now turn to ice, the winter is showing its card. But now the Sun King has rested, and his eyes have returned to the earth.
For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh. So come on, you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day.
Let us take the warmth and light of this time together with us to sustain us in the weeks to come.